The genocidal campaign of Nazi Germany against the Jews remains difficult to comprehend. Scholars still debate why and how the Holocaust, or in Hebrew, the Shoah, happened. It was infinitely more incomprehensible to Benjamin Wilkomirski, who experienced it on his own as a child in a concentration camp, evidently the lone survivor of his family. One must say evidently, because there's hardly anything Benjamin Wilkomirski knows with certainty about his early childhood, not his name, not his birthplace, not his age. After the war, he was assigned a birth date in 1941, since he looked to be about 4 years old, but he believes that date understates his real age by 2 or 3 years. He remembers fragments of events in the camps, and that's the title of his brief and stunning memoir, Fragments.
I have no mother tongue, nor a father tongue either. My language has its roots in the Yiddish of my eldest brother, Mordechai, overlaid with the bubble of an assortment of children's barracks in the Nazi death camps in Poland. It was a small vocabulary. It reduced itself to the bare essentials required to say and to understand whatever would ensure survival. At some point during this time, speech left me altogether, and it was a long time before I found it again. So it was no great loss that I more or less forgot this gibberish, which lost its usefulness with the end of the war.
After the war, Benjamin Wilkomirski was placed in orphanages and then in a foster home in Switzerland, where he grew up and studied music. In his book, Wilkomirski recreates the concentration camp at Majdanek in Poland, as it appeared to him, for 2 years of his childhood.
Most of the time I was together with other children. In Majdanek it was called, these three barracks, we were Kinderquarantäne, they called it. And in one barrack, I guess there were about 200, 300 children from just 1 year old till 12.
And the children were not a constant population. Some would come and go or be taken away.
They were never brought back. And we were very insecure. Was it better to remain in the barrack, or was it better to be brought to another place, because we didn't know what happened? And one day I felt that the so-called black children with black hairs, they were always the first to be brought away, and we remained in a little group of blonde children. But of course we didn't understand what that could mean.
Do you think that one of the reasons that you survived as a little child was that you were fair and that you...
Yes, yes.
Who was Jankel? Describe Jankel to us.
Jankel, he was the only friend I had. You know, it's a little bit difficult to speak. At the beginning, in the children barrack, children were tried to organize themselves. They built up sort of artificial families. They played family. The bigger children, maybe 10 years old or so, they took care of small children and they played family. So when I arrived, it was Jankel who immediately took care of me, explained me everything, and he really saved my life. For instance, in winters, one day my shoes just disappeared. They were stolen. I don't know, to go out for the roll call without shoes in the snow, it could be deadly. So he learned me how to take. I don't know the English expression.
Was it rags?
Rags. And how to make knots around the feet with these rags that they hold like shoes, that you can walk in the snow and that your feet do not freeze on the ground when you have to stay there. And then he was very intelligent and very awake. And he found a way to go to the so-called SS kitchen And from the garbage there, he stole sometimes put rest of potato peels and things like cabbage leaves and things like that, and brought it back. And then he taught me not to eat everything at one time, to eat only a little bit, and in the middle of the day the next, and how to hide your food, protect it from thieves, and all such a sort of strategic things he told me, and mm-hmm. that really saved my life.
Yet he did not survive himself.
No.
He was taken away at some point.
Yeah, I guess they caught him one time when he was again stealing food for us.
There's an incident you describe when you were in Switzerland as a little boy, encountering something that other children might have found a little bit scary, but not for the reasons you did. You were on a ski lift.
Yeah. When I saw that the first time, an adult in a sort of a strange uniform fixed the children on this lift, and the children just were brought up, and I saw the end of the lift, a house with where they disappeared in the dark, and the empty seats of the lift came back, and so for me it was completely logic what was going on, that this was a machine to kill
children.
Yes, and so many times such things happened to me, so, and then sometimes I got him ran away in panic, and but I was never able to explain it, so it's life was rather difficult in this time.
You know, nowadays in the 1990s, when every conceivable trauma seems to be the subject of television movies and programs and books, and it's hard to recall that 50 years ago, at the end of the war, people wouldn't have sat down with the children who came out of the camps, as you did, and instantly offered some kind of counseling and therapy and special assistance.
That's a problem in many ways. Besides my studies in music and being a musician, I studied history too, and I work also as a historian. I saw very soon that the fate of children in the Holocaust, or in the Shoah, we say, has never been really a subject of research. It was just neglected. It was completely forgotten, in a way, by many historians, that 1.5 million, approximately, children under 12 were killed in that time. And if quite a few thousand could escape and survived. But children after 45, 46, they had no lobby. And the adults were probably so occupied with their own problems, having survived the Shoah, and they first asked the adults, nobody asked the children. And it was not a time when adults listened to children. I hope these days now it changes slowly, that more and more psychologists, more and more historians recognize how clear and exact a children memory can be.
Binyamin Wilkomirski is now a musician. He's a clarinetist. He lives in Switzerland, where he also makes instruments. His book is called Fragments: Memories of a Wartime Childhood.